he find enough to put the clamps on the church?
No, Emir said. They can just claim they hadn't been doing anything with the site due to its isolation and that they knew nothing.
That's a shame, Jason said. I almost feel bad handing these priests over to the church.
Not an issue, as it turns out, Emir said. The church has declared them tainted from their time in the astral space. I suspect they don't want a bevy of fresh faces while they're in the middle of conducting a huge conspiracy.
Don't underestimate good old intolerant zeal, Jason said.
Either way, Emir said, we have 100 confused, time-displaced, freshly excommunicated clergy.
How does that even work? Jason asked. Did purity show up and take their essences?
Yes, those that had divine essences and awakening stones.
So what happens to them now?
Either they are received by another church, or they replace their missing essences with regular ones. Fortunately, they're only iron rank, so the loss of their essences isn't crippling. You saw the interim director leaving. She will be organizing what to do with them.
She didn't look eager to involve me in the process, Jason said. What do you need me for?
It seems that the being administering the trials informed them that you were the one who stood up for their release. They and the church representatives who actually welcomed their lost people back are rather keen on meeting you.
Jason groaned. Why did he have to go and tell them?
Don't you want your moment of glory? Emir asked with a smile.
I'm more comfortable claiming unearned glory than getting the real thing, Jason said. All I did was ask the guy to let them go, and he said yes. Hardly worth making a fuss over.
Consider it practice, Emir said. Adventurers become the heroes to many, and I doubt these are the last lives you'll save.
I suppose, Jason said. Next time I save someone, though, I'm telling them my name is Humphrey.
Emir laughed. Have you used your awakening stones yet?
Emir asked, changing the subject. Constance caught us just coming from a ritual room, Jason said. We need to sort out Sophie and Belinda's stones and essences, plus I have 2 familiar summonings worth of materials to get. I'm not holding out hope of getting the quintessence I need locally.
I might be able to help with that, Emir said. Have your team refrain from selling their goods here. There's going to be a flood of essences and awakening stones, dropping the price. Buy what you can here for cheap, and I'll have Hester portal you somewhere you can sell your spoils at a tidy profit. You'll also be able to access a larger market for what you need.
That would be amazing, thank you, Jason said.
Go meet with the church representatives, and I'll arrange things with Hester. Constance will be waiting to show you the way.
How are things going with you and Constance? Jason asked. She seems to be warming up around you.
Well, I think our longer-than-expected stay here has everyone acting a little more casually. Something is holding her back, though, and I can't for the life of me figure it out. I thought perhaps it was that she works for me, but that isn't it.
Maybe it's her rank, Jason suggested. She might not want to take that step in your relationship until you're on the same level.
It's an interesting idea, Emir said.
Have you tried asking her? Jason asked.
It's not that easy, Emir said. We've been dancing around each other for a long time now. There's a lot of heavy air in the space between us.
You shouldn't be taking advice from me anyway, Jason said. I'm barely older than your granddaughter.
She used the skill books all right?
Oh yes, Emir said. She'd have trained through the night if I let her. I had to pry her away from Gabriel to make her go to bed. He dotes on her almost as much as I do.
I've been wondering about something, Jason said. I recall you having certain views on children, yet you have a granddaughter.
I had a son I never knew about, Emir said. The result of a youthful dalliance before I even had my essences. The young lady in question never told me, and I didn't find out until he died during the last monster surge.
I'm sorry, Jason said.
My son's wife died with him, leaving only my granddaughter, Kettis. She went to live with her grandmother, my son's mother, but she was not a woman of means. She knew who I was, but never sought me out for money. From what I hear, she raised my son into a fine man. She only reached out for Kettis's sake. Her grandmother is well taken care of now, of course. Money, essences, and enough monster cores to rank her up to bronze. Kettis will have her for some time yet.
And Kettis herself will get the best of everything.
Not everything, Emir said. I would like for her to end up more like your friend Humphrey than your friend Thadwick.
You know Thadwick? Oh, he was one of the ones the cult seeded.
I don't know if you've heard, Emir said. The cult has taken him again in the time you've been gone.
Why? Jason asked. No offense to the bloke, but he's not good to anyone for anything.
The cult has been driven into hiding, Emir said. Deeper hiding. We've managed to identify and curtail many of their operations in the city. They've been using Thadwick's knowledge of the considerable holdings of the Mercer family to make supply raids.
Not even Thadwick deserves to have one of those things inside him, Jason said.
Didn't he try to kill you?
Yeah, but he botched it, like everything he does. His family must be going wild looking for him.
Indeed they are, Emir said.
Well, it's not my business, Jason said, getting up from his chair. All this cult nonsense is above my pay grade, and I have enough to be going on with. I think I'll go get this business with the priests over with.
Chapter 65. Display of Gratitude. The adventurer camp was divided into three areas. The first was the actual campsite, where opulent tents were set out for the prestigious visiting adventurers. The second was the market tents, plain but large, where Greenstone's brokers and the returned adventurers haggled over loot. The last camp was also the most modest, where the returned priests had been collected together. Jason skirted the crowded market area, taking a moment to contact his team via his chat ability. He let them know he would be a while longer and passed on Amir's advice to not sell their loot for cheap market prices. Once finished, he made his way through the tents towards where the priests and others liberated from the astral space were encamped. Not all the people recovered had been actual clergy. Many simply belonged to the divine militant factions of their various religions. Jason was getting looks as he passed through the camp. Word had spread about his acquisition of the scythe, and those who had seen him hand it over recognized him and pointed him out to others. No one actually approached him until he was almost through the camp. An adventuring party stepped into his path.
"Something I can help you with, mate?"
Jason asked the obvious leader.
"How did you get the scythe?"
the man asked, without introduction or preamble.
"You remember that archway that took us out after the trials?"
"Yeah."
"It could also take you to the location of the real scythe."
"How?"
"Turns out it had a sexiness threshold."
"You're a good-looking man, but..."
Jason ran a sensuous hand down his own body.
"Up against all this, you were bang out of luck."
"You mock me."
"You don't have to tell me, mate. I'm the one doing it. Do you not know how mockery works?"
"Do you have any idea who I am?"
the adventurer asked.
"My first thought was the lyrical gangster, but I just don't think you've got the flows."
"What?"
The sun was behind the adventurers, with the man's shadow under Jason's feet. While he looked at Jason in anger and confusion, Jason dropped through the man's shadow like a hole had opened up under his feet. The adventurer looked around, wildly.
"Where did he go?"
Jason had teleported into a tent whose flap was open just enough for him to see the darkened space inside. It was an extremely large tent, like many others, with an opulently appointed interior. A thick rug covered the floor, while cushions were piled high into lounging furniture. There was also a trio of hammocks on stands, and a low table in the middle of the room. Shooting upright at the sudden intrusion was a trio of women, two of whom drew swords and pointed them with disturbingly steady hands at Jason's throat.
"Hello, ladies," Jason said, giving them a friendly grin as he raised his hands in surrender. "Sorry to barge in."
Body language told Jason that the third woman in the room was the one in charge. All three were Celestines, although a different ethnicity than the silver-haired Sophie or the golden-haired locals. Their skin was caramel to Sophie's chocolate, while their eyes were sapphire orbs. The striking blue was matched by their hair, which spilled down like light passing through a waterfall. Jason hoped the startled expression on his face was put down to the swords and not the mesmerizing beauty of his captors. They were all garbed in wrap-style clothing that draped loosely, the muted colours flatteringly highlighting the vibrant colour of their hair and eyes.
"You're Jason Asano,"
the woman in charge said, looking him up and down. She tilted her head, curiously to the side, as if looking at an animal that had wandered into her tent. Jason had the unsettling impression if she was deciding if he was cute enough to be a pet or juicy enough to be food.
Yep, Jason said. "What brings you into my tent?
Would you believe happenstance?" She made a dismissive gesture as she moved towards Jason, and the other two backed away, resheathing their swords. He could see she knew exactly what effect the sultry gait of her lithe body had and exactly how to weaponize it. She walked right up into Jason's personal space. She looked down as she was slightly taller than his slight frame. He dropped his surrendering hands to his side.
"What price are you going to pay for your rude intrusion, Mr. Asano?"
"I suppose taking you to dinner is out of the question?" The hands of the other two jerked back towards their swords, anger flashing on their faces. They were stilled by another dismissive gesture from their leader.
"You haven't asked who I am," she said.
"Do you already know, or do you not care?"
"I'm pretty ignorant," Jason said. "It probably wouldn't mean anything if you told me." She gave him the smile of a snake that just found an unattended egg.
"You are, as your reputation suggests, Mr. Asano, hiding behind the face of a fool."
"What's wrong with my face?" Jason asked, affronted. He gave it an exploratory poke with one of his fingers. The woman laughed.
"I can hear an actual fool causing a commotion outside," she said. "Is that on account of you?"
"I met a bloke who was curious about how I got the scythe," Jason said. His approach was a little rude. She raised an eyebrow. "I recognize the irony," Jason said.
"So, how did you do it?"
"I told the guy outside it was sexiness," Jason said. "I recognize that trying that here would be insultingly implausible."
"You didn't answer my question."
"I noticed that too," he said with a sly grin. "What's your name?" It was one of the two offsiders that answered.
"You have the honor of addressing Her Royal Highness."
"I didn't ask for a job title," Jason interrupted. "I'm not big on nepotism in any case. I asked for a name."
"Does it matter?"
the woman in front of Jason asked.
"We haven't decided if you get to leave this tent alive yet."
"Oh, I'm going to leave, and I'll be just fine," Jason said.
"You're confident?"
"No, but I'm good at faking it." He held a hand up and a plate piled high with red and white confectionery squares appeared in his hand.
"What's this?" she asked.
"Gem berry and milk nut squares," Jason said. "You asked about the price I would pay for barging in." His arm turned into shadow stuff, bending around the woman and stretching out to set the plate on the table. One of her offsiders drew a sword and slashed at the shadow arm, the blade passing harmlessly through. Jason retracted his arm, and it returned to normal. "Once you try those," he said, "you'll regret not taking me up on that dinner invitation." He made to leave, and she didn't stop him, but she spoke up as he lifted the flap to exit.
"Mr. Asano?"
"Jason's fine," he said, pausing at the entrance to the tent.
"Zara," she said.
"Zara?"
"My name."
Jason flashed her a grin. "It's been a genuine pleasure to meet you, Zara. Enjoy the slices." He left the tent, letting the flap drop down behind him.
"You should have let us cut him for his impudence," one of Zara's servants said. "Nothing lethal, just a lesson in respect for his betters."
Zara let out a weary sigh. Her party members had been hand-picked by her father for loyalty over intelligence.
You already tried that, and it didn't exactly accomplish anything, Zara said. That was Jason Asano. Cutting him is a quick path to becoming leech food.
Jason arrived at the priest camp, keeping an eye out for the adventuring team he had annoyed along the way. He was quickly noticed and approached by a small delegation of church officials. He recognized the symbols of the Healer, Dominion, and a few others. Conspicuously absent were Purity and Undeath, the two churches that had made up the bulk of the forces that had attacked the Order of the Reaper's Lake Bottom Fortress. As the church officials approached, the whole camp was suddenly inundated with a clashing maelstrom of overwhelming auras as the gods themselves appeared. One god was bad enough, but the manifestation of several at once, even with their auras tamped down to their minimum strength, threw the camp into chaos. Some of the Iron Rankers with less control of their own auras dropped to their knees, violently throwing up. Many of them lived entirely on spirit coins, consigning them to painful dry heaving. Most of the Iron Rankers were fine, however, as the camp was a gathering of exceptional adventurers. This included Jason, who retracted his own aura in tightly and let the divine auras wash around it like an island in a storm. A handful of figures appeared before Jason. They looked much like the church officials standing behind them, but there was no mistaking the power radiating out of them. People were dropping to their knees like a Catholic genuflecting wave before the unexpected appearance of their gods. Soon only Jason remained standing, directly in front of them.
"And I thought I had a thing for melodrama," he said.
One of the gods laughed. Each wore the robes of their own orders, complete with holy symbol. Jason recognized the one laughing as Dominion from his symbol. He appeared young and handsome, with a hint of perpetual disdain behind his eyes. His robes were purple and gold, and he had a simple golden crown around his head. The outfit was troublingly similar to what the manifestation of Jason's evil future self had been wearing.
"You never disappoint,"
Dominion said.
"I'm not sure how to take that, coming from you," Jason said, getting another laugh from the god.
Another god stepped forward, and Jason recognized the symbol of the Healer.
"We wanted to display our gratitude for returning our people long lost to us," Healer told Jason. "Astral spaces, not being truly of this world, exist beyond our influence. We understand you have complicated views regarding we gods, and decided the best gift we could give you was to thank you in person. The simple fact of our having done so should help you establish your reputation as you advance your adventuring career."
Setting them loose wasn't exactly out of my way.
"I think, perhaps, it was not so simple as you make out. But I shall say no more. We have given our thanks and shall take our leave."
"No worries, bloke."
The gods vanished. The sudden absence of their auras felt like ears popping under a pressure change. People climbed to their feet, all eyes on Jason. He looked around, then his shadow cloak formed around him, and he teleported immediately through it, leaving the cloak to drift down for a moment before likewise vanishing. Jason teleported rapidly through the camp, jumping from shadow to shadow. He finally reached the Cloud Palace and strode inside. Once through the door, he collapsed against the wall, drawing heaving breaths. It had taken everything he had to keep his cool in the face of not just one, but a handful of gods, all while a crowd looked on. The sheer force of multiple divine presences had pressed down on him like the weight of the sky. For the first time, he could feel his own soul. Even now, having escaped that inconceivable power, he could feel the pressure. Rather than lessen, he felt like he was descending into the ocean depths, every moment increasing the chance that the fragile vessel of his soul would collapse. By the time the pressure finally subsided, he was curled up on the floor of the Cloud Palace atrium,
arms clutching his head. New title, Godless Prophet. Your aura has been damaged by the direct, concerted focus of multiple transcendent-level entities. The process of damage and recovery has refined the strength of your aura, increasing its suppressive force and resistance to suppression from higher-ranked auras. Your aura signature has changed. An echo of transcendent power can be detected if your aura is examined by an aura-sensing power or when projecting your aura. Jason continued to lay on the floor, letting out exhausted, wheezing coughs. Jason? Humphrey's voice came through the party chat. We all felt multiple divine auras, and then we started hearing some strange things.
You should try it from my perspective.
Jason responded weakly.
You should all go ahead and shop without me.
I think I'm going to have a lay down.
What happened? Humphrey asked.
I'll tell you later, Jason said.
Just spot me for anything Sophie and Belinda want to buy, all right?
I can do that, Humphrey said. In the guest wing lounge of the Cloud Palace, Sophie and Belinda were going over the Awakening Stones Sophie had chosen with Clive. They had obtained the essences for Belinda, but had decided to leave those until Sophie's power set was completed. Although they had found several interesting essences during the trials, Belinda was adamant about the combination of three common essences she had already chosen. They had no trouble trading for the magic, trap, and adept essences she wanted. Sophie also had her remaining Awakening Stones sorted out. Clive had extensive knowledge of attempting to engineer power sets through stone choices, although he was the first to reiterate that he could make no promises. Aside from the legendary Awakening Stones, her strongest acquisitions were a pair of epic Awakening Stones of the moment. Adventure Society representatives were offering good trades for restricted essences to take them out of the market, and Sophie had traded a death essence for the two epic Awakening Stones.
These really were a great trade,
Clive said, for the third or fourth time since urging Sophie to take them in the first place. He had convinced her by explaining they were perfect for a skill-based power set. The abilities they were known to produce required precise timing but were incredibly impactful. Rounding out Sophie's selection were two uncommon stones picked out from the ones they found during the trials. Because Sophie's power set was very skill-oriented, the Awakening Stone of Preparation would hopefully give her an ability that acted as a failsafe when things inevitably went wrong. They hoped the Awakening Stone of the Surge would bestow a buff power that would help in critical moments.
The hallmark of a good high-skill adventurer is coming through in the critical moments, Clive had explained. If your abilities reflect this, you'll find yourself far more effective. Be warned, though, that such abilities require skill, judgment, and timing. Get them wrong and they may do more harm than good. To you, obviously. Doing harm to the other guy is kind of the point.
We should get everyone together to use the stones, Sophie said. Asano still hasn't come out of his suite?
Not that I know of, Clive said. Having a bunch of gods turn up in front of you would be a straining experience for anyone.
You should go check on him, Belinda said to Sophie. Why me?
He does own you.
He does not own me.
A lease is kind of like owning you.
It's not a lease.
Still, you should be the one to...
Sophie and Clive looked at the startled expression on Belinda's face as she trailed off and followed her gaze to the terrace outside. Jason was wandering along, looking lost. More noticeably, he had a bushy moustache and no clothes whatsoever. Sophie, Belinda, and Clive looked at each other in confusion, then went out to meet Jason.
Jason, Clive said, you aren't wearing any pants.
Fair point, Jason said brightly.
I think what Clive meant to ask was, why?
Belinda said.
The topic of this conversation is kind of my thing, Jason said.
Sophie, Belinda and Clive shared another look.
Asano, Sophie said. Is everything all right?
Biscuits!
Biscuits? Sophie asked.
Biscuits!
Suddenly, Humphrey's voice rumbled in their direction in an angry roar.
Stash!
Jason's eyes went wide, and he clambered onto the terrace rail, transforming into a puppy before leaping off into the air. Humphrey then came pounding along the terrace at a run.
"What did I tell you?"
he bellowed, before vaulting the rail in pursuit of his fleeing familiar. Sophie, Belinda, and Clive looked at each other one more time.
"Anyone else want a drink?"
Clive asked.
"Yes, please. Absolutely."
Chapter 66. The Person I Decided to Be. In the Cloud Palace, the only person who could open a guest suite door they were not attuned to was Emir. He did so when Jason didn't answer the chime. He entered, then walked out to where Jason was staring, shell-shocked, out over the lake. Jason didn't even appear to notice Emir's arrival. Emir joined Jason in leaning on the rail, enjoying the cool breeze sweeping over the water to refresh from the desert heat. Even as autumn turned to winter, the desert was unforgiving. More so than it should be this far south by any reckoning Jason would recognize. Another difference between this world and his own.
"It's quite a thing, soul damage," Emir said.
Jason turned to look at him for the first time since he arrived.
"How did you know?" Jason asked.
"Your aura signature changed. I'm connected to the Cloud Palace, and it didn't want to let you in because you don't match the aura imprint you gave it. I changed it to match your new one, or you wouldn't be able to move around in here."
"The Cloud Palace can take my aura imprint when my Adventure Society badge can't?"
"Your badge can take your aura imprint just fine," Emir said. "It just can't be tracked. You should get your badge redone, by the way."
"My aura changed," Jason said. "Like the people with the star seeds. Is everyone going to suspect me now?"
"Not after what happened, with everyone watching. It would be strange if there wasn't some after effect of getting up close and personal with gods like that. Gary was shaky for a while after meeting with just two, and he's bronze rank. You met six at iron rank. Damn right there's an impact."
"You said soul damage," Jason said.
"That's right. Do you know how magic healing works?"
"I'm more focused on astral magic," Jason said.
"There's actually some interesting crossover," Emir said. "Think of your soul like a plan, or maybe a memory, of everything you are. What magical healing does is look at the difference between the plan and the reality and move one towards the other."
Jason's brow creased in thought as that information ticked over in his mind.
"That's how my soul was able to construct a new body when it arrived in this world," Jason said. "It was like a blueprint. And that's why I don't remember anything between disappearing in my world and arriving here. The soul has a backup copy of my brain state, but no actual brain to think with in a space without physical reality."
"If you say so," Emir said. "I'm not really versed in the whole outworlder process."
"You should talk to Clive," Jason said.
"You should convince him to come and work for me."
"No chance.
He's wasted as an adventurer."
"He's wasted not being one," Jason said. "He's gained so much confidence in the time I've known him. He needs to be an adventurer, at least for now."
"That's an unhelpfully good argument," Emir conceded.
"Tell me more about soul damage," Jason asked. To his surprise, Emir untucked his shirt and lifted it up to reveal a scar running horizontally across his chest and around his left side.
"I didn't think scars were possible with healing magic," Jason said.
"Normally they aren't," Emir said. "As I said, the soul is like a memory of how you should be. But some things change you forever. Some scars you carry on your soul."
"Your aura signature was changed once?" Jason asked.
"Nothing so drastic," Emir said. "My soul was marked. It wasn't enough to change my aura, but the events of that day are part of who I am now. This scar represents a choice I once made about the person I decided to be. It happens sometimes. An injury marks a fundamental change in who you are, and you carry it with you. Find any veteran adventurer, a real one who puts themselves out there, and you'll find they have scars like this. It takes something a bit more soul-shaking to not just mark your aura, but change it, though.
Soul-shaking is right, Jason said. I spent the whole night just trembling. It was like someone took my soul in their hand and could crush it like it was nothing. It's one thing to know a god has power beyond imagining. It's something else to feel it, to really feel it all around you. It's like drowning.
By all accounts, you didn't let it show, Emir said. I did hear you left very quickly.
Are you kidding? Jason asked. I thought I knew what vulnerable and exposed felt like, but this was walking naked through the desert. Is this how people feel when their auras are suppressed?
I imagine what you experienced was similar, but worse, Emir said. I know you handle having your aura suppressed strangely well, but for the rest of us, it feels like having your soul exposed for someone to see. I think yours actually was.
The others must be worried, Jason said.
We are all rather used to you taking everything in stride, Emir said. I think your being so rattled has taken away a little of your mystique. Also, the girls saw you naked.
They what?
It seems Humphrey's familiar.
Oh, right, Jason said. Stash has gotten it into his head that if he turns into me, he can make biscuits appear.
He can't mimic your abilities, can he?
No, Jason said. He can only take on the magic powers of things lower rank than him, which basically means lesser monsters, sparkler worms, that kind of thing. Otherwise, it's just the normal physical properties of the things he turns into. Claws, flippers, wings, that kind of thing.
So once he reaches bronze, he could mimic an iron rank adventurer.
That's the theory, Jason said. As Clive points out, there isn't a large sample size for Mirage Dragon familiars. There's actually more records of apocalypse beasts. A lot of them are swarms like Colin. Helps cover ground to get that apocalypse going, I guess.
I can't believe you named an apocalypse beast Colin.
He's a good boy. Girl. Leeches can switch it about. Suddenly Jason started laughing.
What is it? Emir asked.
Back in my world, Jason said, there are certain sections of society that think transgender people will bring about the end of the world. Colin's a transgender person that actually could, which I have to imagine would change their perspective on the issue. Probably not in a good way, though.
You are a very strange man, Emir said. I don't envy the gods having rummaged about inside your soul. I suspect it's very twisty.
That may be the single rudest thing anyone has ever said to me.
Really?
Yeah, Jason said. Thadwick tried to kill me, and this actually feels worse. Probably because you aren't an idiot trying to salvage a bad plan with a worse overreaction.
Did you really accuse a group of gods of being melodramatic?
Probably, Jason said. It's all a bit of a blur, to be honest.
Well, your team is waiting to hear that you're all right, Emir said. I believe Miss Wexler has a full set of awakening stones ready to use.
I should get to it, then. They're probably sick of waiting.
I think you're underestimating the degree to which they support you, Emir said. You'll find them in the guest wing lounge.
So it ultimately strengthened your aura?
Clive asked as the team walked through the Cloud Palace in the direction of a ritual room. I think so, Jason said. I've been wondering if that was their intention or if I'm just so weak it never occurred to them.
I think it would be wise not to try and guess a god's motivation, Humphrey said. These are beings of unimaginable power, with experience longer than history, and a perspective beyond our comprehension.
Agreed, Sophie said. I know you can't stop yourself from poking a hornet's nest, Asano, but at least pick hornets that can't strike you down with a bolt from the heavens.
They reached the room and Clive started setting up the ritual.
What do you think? Belinda asked Sophie. Start with the most common stones and work our way up to the good stuff.
Sounds good, Sophie said. Clive had been storing Sophie's awakening stones and sat them on a shelf on the wall. Sophie went over as Clive continued setting up the ritual.
In a rare display of nervous fussing, Sophie set them out neatly in a line, readjusting until Clive announced he was ready. She grabbed the first stone and marched into the ritual circle he had drawn, and held up the uncommon rarity awakening stone of preparation in her hand as Clive completed the ritual.
You have awakened the Swift Essence Ability, Alacrity's Reward. You have awakened 4 of 5 Swift Essence Abilities. Ability, Alacrity's Reward, Swift. Special Ability, Holy. Cost, None. Cooldown, None. Current Rank, Iron, 0.00%. Effect, Iron. Accumulate instances of Blessing of Anticipation over time, up to an instance threshold determined by the Spirit attribute. Rate of instance acquisition is increased proportionally with speed of movement. Blessing of Anticipation, Boon, Holy, Stacking. Consume instances to negate an amount of incoming damage per instance consumed. Additional instances can be accumulated.
That's a winner, Jason said.
Exactly what we were looking for from the Stone of Anticipation, Clive said with satisfaction. Something to compensate when skill doesn't work out. We couldn't ask for a better start.
He started setting up the next ritual.
The next 3 stones are all designed to give you strong abilities that you can use at the right moment to critical effect, he said as he worked. We'll start with the Awakening Stone of the Surge. You have awakened the Wind Essence Ability, Wind Wave. You have awakened 4 of 5 Wind Essence Abilities. Ability, Wind Wave, Wind. Special Ability, Movement. Cost, Moderate Mana. Cooldown, 6 seconds. Current Rank, Iron, 0.00%. Effect, Iron. Produce a powerful blast of air that can push away enemies and physical projectiles. Can be used to launch into the air or move rapidly while already airborne.
I'm not sure that's exactly what we were after, Clive said.
Sophie raised an arm at Jason, whose eyes went wide as the air of the ritual room kicked into a gale. He was slammed into the mercifully soft Cloud Palace wall. The gust settled as quickly as it roared up, leaving behind an empty silence.
I like it, Sophie said.
I'm not a fan, Jason groaned as he pushed himself to his feet.
The next Awakening Stone should be a good one, Clive said. Awakening Stone of the Moment.
Sophie walked over to take the next stone as Clive set up the next ritual circle. His ability to draw them with his power, along with balancing out the ambient magic, saved immense amounts of time when going through many rituals in sequence.
You have awakened the Swift Essence Ability, Eternal Moment. You have awakened 5 of 5 Swift Essence Abilities. You have awakened all Swift Essence Abilities. Linked attribute, Speed, will advance in conjunction with lowest rank Swift Essence Ability. Ability, Eternal Moment, Swift. Special Ability. Cost, Extreme Mana per second and Stamina per second. Cooldown, None. Current Rank, Iron, 0.00%. Effect, Iron. Operate at a highly accelerated speed for 1 second of actual time, which is extended in subjective time.
It lets you move fast, Jason said. I guess the question is how far... Ah! Sophie had vanished, reappearing a moment later behind him, driving a fist into his lower back. From her perspective, the world had slowed to a barely perceptible crawl.
Bloody hell,
Jason exclaimed as he lay on the ground, clutching his back.
What was that for?
I had to test the ability, she said.
Like that?
He asked, pulling himself to his feet.
If you don't like it, Sophie said, go complain to your god friends.
We're more like work acquaintances, Jason said. We generally stay out of each other's way unless something comes up in the course of our normal employment.
Did you just call the God of Dominion a work acquaintance?
Neil asked.
I don't think he's someone I'd get after work drinks with, Jason said. I bet he'd cause a lot of trouble.
My mother has the exact same power, Humphrey said to Sophie, getting the subject back on track.
Rufus has one that's quite similar too, Jason said. While the others messed about, Clive set up the next ritual.
You have awakened the Balance Essence Ability, Moment of Oneness. You have awakened 3 of 5 Balance Essence Abilities. Ability, Moment of Oneness, Balance. Special Ability, Movement. Cost, Extreme Mana per second. Cooldown, 2 minutes. Current Rank, Iron, 0.00%.
effect, iron. Become immune to all damage and afflictions for 1 second. The next melee attack within 4 seconds inflicts all damage and afflictions on the struck enemy. If no enemies are attacked, the damage and conditions are suffered retroactively.
I'm going to need a volunteer, Sophie said, after reading the power.
I think it's your turn, Hump, Jason said.
Someone with afflictions would be best, Sophie added.
Oh, come on, Jason said, walking up to Sophie. What did I do?
How do you know the Hurricane Princess? Humphrey asked.
The who? Jason asked. What does that have to do with anything?
Zara Remoris, Humphrey said.
Oh, Zara, Jason said brightly. As he was looking at Humphrey, he didn't notice the distasteful expression on Sophie's face. Belinda did, and hid a smile behind her hand. How do you know I know her? Jason asked Humphrey.
She came by last night while you were still in seclusion, Humphrey explained. I think she wanted to check on you.
Really? Jason said, rubbing his chin thoughtfully as an intrigued smile crossed his face.
Back to the task at hand, Asano, Sophie said. You can moon over some girl later.
Jealous? He asked, with a teasing voice. He turned around, spotting neither Belinda's wince nor Sophie's fist ramming into his gut. With an expression mixing confusion and pain, he slumped to the floor.
Why?
He asked between wheezing breaths from the ground.
Aren't I meant to hit you to test that power?
Sorry, Sophie said. New ability. I'm still figuring out how it works.
Chapter 67. You have friends to help you. In the ritual room, the group watched as Sophie continued through her awakening rituals. She had 3 unawakened abilities left, 1 from the wind essence and 2 from the balance, along with 3 legendary awakening stones to use on them. She decided to save the Reaper Stone for last, leaving the awakening stone of the Celestials that Constance had suggested and the stone of Karma that Clive picked out. She started with the stone of the Celestials.
You have awakened the wind essence ability, Child of the Celestial Wind. You have awakened 5 of 5 wind essence abilities. You have awakened all wind essence abilities. Linked attribute, power, will advance in conjunction with lowest rank wind essence ability. Ability, Child of the Celestial Wind, wind. Special ability, dimension, holy. Cost, none. Cooldown, none. Current rank, iron, 0.00%. Effect, iron. Your Celestine racial powers have increased effect. You gain damage reduction to disruptive force damage.
What's other Celestine racial powers? Neil asked.
I know you have a utility power aptitude and can use ongoing abilities for less mana. That one's your ability that evolved, right?
Yes, Sophie said. We also recover mana more quickly, we're faster, and have astral and holy affinities.
What does holy do, other than improve holy abilities? Neil asked.
It increases the effect of healing magic and holy boons used on me.
Oh, that's nice, Neil said. Those are abilities you want to have increased. They moved into the Awakening Stone of Karma.
You have awakened the Balance Essence ability, Karmic Warrior. You have awakened 4 of 5 Balance Essence abilities. Ability, Karmic Warrior, Balance, Special Ability, Holy, Cost, none, Cooldown, none, Current Rank, Iron, 0.00%, Effect, Iron, Gain an instance of Agent of Karma when subjected to damage or any harmful effect, even if the damage and or effect was wholly negated. Agent of Karma, Boon, Holy, Stacking. The Power and Spirit attributes are temporarily increased by a small amount. Additional instances have a cumulative effect.
So basically, Jason said, whenever you take damage, even when you negate that damage with your cheesy powers, you get stronger, tougher, and your magical abilities get stronger and get more powerful.
The Spirit attribute actually has several functions, Clive said. Obviously, affecting the potency of essence abilities is the important one, but don't overlook its impact on our perception. As our spirit attributes move past bronze rank, our senses will go beyond what they are now. colours, sounds, and smells to which we were oblivious will suddenly be made plain to us.
So, you can move so fast it amounts to stopping time, become immune to damage, then heap all the damage you should have taken onto the other guy? Jason said. Now you have another overpowered ability. Humphrey got bloody immortality, and I got stretchy arms. Not even arms. One stretchy arm.
You can switch up which arm it is, though, Belinda said. There's that.
The group laughed at the flat look Jason gave her. We might be a little more sympathetic, Neil said, if your powers hadn't killed a carnivorous plant the size of a small city.
It wasn't just me, Jason said.
There were 25 other people involved in that.
Asano, we would have all been left sitting around with nothing to do if we didn't have you there, Sophie said. Stop whining.
I guess that's fair, Jason conceded.
Sophie, that new ability makes you rather like a defensive version of Jason, Humphrey pointed out. You don't have any explosive attack powers, but now the longer a fight goes on, the more dangerous you become. Increasing your power attribute will obviously increase your physical strength, and the increase in spirit will affect the additional damage your powers add to even your normal attacks. That will eventually add up to every one of your strikes having the kind of strength the rest of us have only with a special attack, and we all know how quickly you can attack.
We still have one more ability to awaken,
Clive reminded them as he finished setting up for the final ritual. Did you hear what people were getting from Reaper Stones while you were in the market? Jason asked. Clive veered off quite early to go ask around while the rest of us were selling loot, Neil said. Did you actually get people to tell you, Clive?
Kind of, Clive said. I found the Magic Society contingent and organized cheap awakening rituals for anyone who let us record their abilities.
I saw that, Neil said. You organized that?
I'm still a Magic Society official, Clive said. Even if Lucian Lamprey did effectively strip me of all responsibility.
I'd like to kick that guy's insides out one day, Sophie said.
Was this because of me? Jason asked unhappily.
He doesn't like that I work with you, Clive said. It worked out, though, since it left me freer for adventuring and research. All his punishment actually did was free me from a bunch of administering duties.
Jason frowned, knowing that it had not been the windfall Clive was making out. I'm sorry, he said.
I told you it's fine, Clive said. Getting back on topic, I did manage to find out about a lot of powers coming from the Reaper Stones. The most common, from what I could gather, are aggressive utility powers, Clive said as he continued to work. There's quite a lot of conjuration powers, mostly weapons, but also stranger things, like Jason's arm conjuration. They all seem to incorporate offensive aspects, though, like the affliction Jason's shadow arm delivers.
I'd like something impactful that I can open up a fight with, Sophie said. Something to put the enemy on the back foot.
I'm not sure that's on the table, Clive said. From the people I talk to, the Reaper Stones tend to give out powers more in Jason's wheelhouse. Slow, inevitable death.
Speculation turned to anticipation as Clive finished the ritual and carried it out.
You have awakened the Balance Essence ability, Deny the Reaper. You have awakened 5 of 5 Balance Essence abilities. You have awakened all Balance Essence abilities. Linked attribute, Recovery, will advance in conjunction with lowest rank Balance Essence ability. Ability, Deny the Reaper, Balance. Special attack, counter execute, healing. Cost, moderate mana. Cooldown, 30 seconds. Current rank, iron, 0.00%. Effect, iron. Target enemy suffers a small amount of transcendent damage and you are healed for a small amount. As a counter execute effect, the damage and healing scale exponentially with your own level of injury.
Counter execute, Jason said. That's a new one to me.
You generally see it in defensive power sets, Clive said. They are generally more powerful than other abilities, but only if you use them when things are going badly. Usually they have some combination of damage reduction, healing, retribution damage, or health drain.
My immortality power is something of a false counter-execute, Humphrey said. It's unlikely to scale as well as Sophie's new power, but it can also scale off low stamina and mana, and will be more useful without having to be beaten down first.
Thought that ability scaled like this one,
Neil said.
Yes, but it doesn't have to be with damage, Humphrey said. If I'm just low on mana, for example, it will top my mana up without doing much for my health and stamina.
So it's more versatile, Jason said.
Stupid OP power.
I bet your mum's happy, though.
Actually, she was ecstatic, Humphrey said. I've never seen her like that.
Of course she was, Jason said. A mother just found out her child was immortal.
I'm not actually immortal.
It's still a powerful survival skill, Clive said. This one of Sophie's is not to be underestimated, however. The chance to bring a fight going badly back to even ground fits into the classic balance essence mode. Balance is quite popular because it has abilities like this that can pull you through rough situations.
I wanted an attack for the start of the fight, not the end, Sophie said.
Look at it this way, Humphrey said. Would you prefer a big, splashy entrance that may or may not do you any good, or something you can rely on when things go wrong?
Sophie considered Humphrey's words, nodding to herself. I guess you're right, she said. Big attacks are kind of your area anyway.
Plus, transcendent damage, Clive said. That's as reliable as it gets, plus incredibly rare at iron rank. You only see it on conditional powers like executes or when the damage is negligible, both of which are demonstrated by Jason's abilities.
That leaves you, Sophie said, turning to Belinda. Ready to become an essence user?
Are you kidding? Belinda asked.
I can't wait for Jason to complain about how great my powers are.
What?
Jason asked.
You can be a bit of a whiner, Neil told him.
I'm not a whiner, Jason said. I'm just open with my feelings. I'm a delicate flower.
The kind of flower that's hard to eradicate, even when you try to get rid of it, Neil said.
Is there a word for that?
You're calling me a weed? Jason asked.
That's very rude.
You said I was fat.
You are objectively hefty for an elf.
I'm well built.
Like a fancy cake, Jason said.
But I imagine you know all about cake, given how many you must have eaten to get like that.
I'm not the only elf that looks like this, you know.
You mean Lucian Lamprey?
He's not a great role model. Even putting aside the whole evil sleazebag thing, the guy looks like someone sucked the air out of a bag of nuts.
As Jason and Neil continued to bicker, Clive went to work setting up Belinda's first essence ritual. It was more elaborate and involved than a ritual of awakening, but otherwise quite similar. Soon Belinda was standing in the middle of a magic diagram, a magic essence held nervously in her hands.
There's nothing to worry about, Sophie said. You saw me go through this.
Trust me, Clive said. I've done this dozens of times, probably hundreds.
What if I get a crap power? Belinda asked.
My mother says there's no such thing as a bad power, Humphrey said. Just a bad essence user who doesn't know what to do with it.
Everyone here knows how smart and resourceful you are, Jason told her. If you get a basic attack ability, that's a reliable power you can count on when things are too hectic to set up a clever plan. If you get something more esoteric, you can be innovative with it and really show what you're capable of. Either way, I know you'll be able to make the most of it.
Belinda nodded.
Thanks, she told them.
If all your powers are crap, though, Jason added casually, we're not letting you on the team.
He yelped as Sophie thumped him on the arm.
What was that for? He asked.
What was that for? Sophie echoed incredulously. If I had a suppression collar, I'd put it on you and throw you off the highest tower in this whole damn palace.
I'm kind of in the middle of something here, Belinda interjected.
Sorry, Jason said. Clive conducted the ritual, the essence in Belinda's hands dissolving into a nebula-like cloud that floated around her before drifting gently into her body.
You have absorbed magic essence. You have absorbed one of four essences. Progress to iron rank, 25%. One of four essences. Magic essence has bonded to your spirit attribute, changing your spirit from normal to iron zero. Master all magic essence abilities to increase your spirit attribute. You have awakened the magic essence ability, Bag of Tricks. You have awakened one of five magic essence abilities. Ability, Bag of Tricks, Magic. Special ability, Dimension. Cost, none. Cooldown, none. Current rank, iron, 0, 0, 0%. Effect, iron. You have a personal, dimensional storage space. You may equip any item in your storage space directly onto your person, or unequip anything on your person directly to your storage space.
A dimensional space as your first ability, Neil said. Not even from some high-end stone. You got it straight from the essence. It looks like a convenient one, too. None of us conjuring up a cupboard or whatever.
We have a lot of storage spaces in this team, Clive said. We're lucky in that regard.
Blue-grey light started shining from within Belinda.
Here we go, Clive said. Human racial ability, essence gift, has evolved to adventurer's tools. Ability, adventurer's tools. Transfigured from human, ability, essence gift. Active ability, conjuration. Conjure basic, non-magical objects.
Sophie and Belinda had already decided just to do Belinda's essences before taking their shopping trip to sell off their loot in a market not flooded with essences and awakening stones. They already had some stones picked out, but were also waiting to see what her first powers produced. Normally, they would have only awakened around half of her powers right away, as had been the case with the rest of the team. Belinda was already behind the curve compared to them, though, so they instead decided to do all the stones after coming back from their shopping trip. In the meantime, they moved on to the next essence.
You have absorbed trap essence. You have absorbed 2 of 4 essences. Progress to iron rank, 50%. 2 of 4 essences. Trap essence has bonded to your power attribute, changing your power from normal to iron 0. Master all trap essence abilities to increase your power attribute. You have awakened the trap essence ability, bait and switch. You have awakened 1 of 5 trap essence abilities. Ability, bait and switch, trap. Special ability, dimension, illusion. Cost, high mana. Cooldown, 1 minute. Current rank, iron, 0.00%. Effect, iron. Teleport self or nearby ally to a nearby location. The subject is rendered invisible for a brief period, leaving behind a lifelike illusion. The illusion has no substance or aura.
An escape power, Clive said. The mana cost and use interval for a power like that are quite large because you can use it on other people. That's a valuable power.
Belinda's next racial gift evolution soon triggered. Human racial ability, essence gift, has evolved to the price of power. Ability, the price of power, transfigured from human, ability, essence gift. Active ability, spell, curse. The subject of this ability suffers disruptive force damage when expending mana, proportional to the amount of mana consumed.
That's interesting, Clive said. Active racial gifts are rare, especially one you can use on other people.
How is that a trap power? Sophie asked.
It turns a person's own mana into a trap, Neil said. That's a nasty ability.
I'm glad, Belinda said. The first one wasn't great. Useful, don't get me wrong, but a bit underwhelming.
Underwhelming, Jason said. That ability to conjure tools is the most pure-blood adventuring power I've ever seen. I could empty half my storage space if I had that power.
He really could, Humphrey said.
I will admit, I've been carrying around some useful goods as well, Clive said. Because I had ropes with me, Neil and I have multiple growth items now.
Still 2 essences to go, Clive said. I'll set up the next ritual.
Actually, could we take a break? Belinda asked. This is kind of intense and I could use a rest.
Good idea, Jason said. We can all go up to my suite and I'll put on some lunch. As everyone shuffled out of the ritual room, Clive asked Sophie and Belinda to stay behind a moment to discuss an issue with their new abilities.
Is there a problem with our abilities? Sophie asked, after the others were gone.
This isn't really about your abilities, Clive said. This is about Jason.
What about him? Sophie asked.
I don't like the way you were attacking him, Clive said.
Seriously? Sophie asked.
I hit him 10 times harder when we spar.
But you weren't sparring.
You think he couldn't have stopped me?
Jason's judgment is compromised when it comes to you, Clive said. He's wary of his power over you and the men who had power over you in the past. Because of that, he lets you get away with things he wouldn't tolerate from anyone else. Don't forget, he just went through something incredibly affecting.
He seems normal to me, Belinda said.
Exactly, Sophie agreed.
You saw him. He's fine.
Clive gave them a sad smile.
You never met Farah, but when Jason and I started adventuring together, she asked me to look out for him, to make sure he actually was fine and didn't just seem that way. He's good at hiding when he's overwhelmed.
That's crap, Sophie said. He's just one of those guys who takes it all in stride. Nothing really affects people like that.
People like that don't exist, Clive said. Jason may not have been through all the things you have, but he's had his own challenges. He's more vulnerable than he seems.
Sophie scowled, while Belinda looked at her thoughtfully.
Maybe we can tone it back a little, she said.
You mean I can? Sophie said.
Yeah, Soph, Belinda said. I mean you.
They reconvened in the ritual room after lunch. Sophie was subdued, her scowl replaced with an unhappy, thoughtful frown as she shot glances in Jason's direction. Jason moved over to Clive as he drew the circle for the next ritual.
What did you do? Jason asked quietly. I didn't like the way she was treating you.
She needed that, Jason said. To know that she really is free and wouldn't be pushed back down for acting against the man with the power over her.
You think that was a healthy expression of freedom? Clive asked.
Of course not, Jason said. But it was a start.
And what about what you need? Clive asked. You might be putting a good face on it, but I know what happens to people who get that close to that many gods. I've read papers on it. You can't tell me you're fine when I know you were shaken to the very soul, literally.
It's fine.
The way she was treating you isn't fine. Neil and Humphrey might think she's crabby about some other girl, but they're teenagers and don't know any better.
Wexler's damaged, Jason said.
We need to give her some leeway. Trauma is not an excuse to hurt other people, Clive said. Isn't the whole point for her to take responsibility for her own behavior? This is not how you work through your problems.
You can't fix everything at once, Clive. You take the wins you can get.
You aren't a reliable judge when it comes to her. You're so scared of abusing the power in that indenture contract that you won't act when you should. But that's all right. You have friends to help you, and so does she. Let us keep both of you walking in straight lines.
Jason glanced over at Sophie, then nodded.
All right, Clive, Jason said.
Thanks, mate.
Chapter 68 Blob Body. After they had all gathered in the Cloud Palace's ritual room once more, Clive performed the next essence ritual for Belinda.
You have absorbed Adept Essence. You have absorbed 3 of 4 essences. Progress to Iron Rank, 75%, 3 of 4 essences. Adept Essence has bonded to your Speed attribute, changing your Speed from Normal to Iron 0. Master all Adept Essence abilities to increase your Speed attribute. You have awakened the Adept Essence ability, Blessing of Readiness. You have awakened 1 of 5 Adept Essence abilities. Ability, Blessing of Readiness. Adept, Spell, Recovery. Cost, Moderate Mana. Cooldown, Varies. Current rank, Iron, 0.00%. Effect, Iron. This spell can only affect an ally and not yourself. The cooldown of the next ability used by the target is reduced by up to 1 minute. The cooldown of this ability is equal to the time taken from the cooldown of the target ability.
Being able to use a key ability twice in quick succession could be very domineering, Humphrey said. That's a strong power.
Now used to it, they waited for the blue-grey light signalling a racial gift evolution.
Human racial ability, essence gift, has evolved to quick learner. Ability, quick learner. Transfigured from human ability, essence gift. You may use skill books for which you meet the requirements.
Oh no, Belinda said, as her shoulders slumped.
Great, Sophie said. You can finally start learning some of those skills you missed out on.
I didn't miss out, Sophie. I don't want to learn how to kick people.
You're an adventurer now.
And I intend to stand at the back, Belinda said. Look at the power I just got. It's literally designed to have someone else do the kicking.
It never hurts to have some combat skills to fall back on, Humphrey said. Adventurers who assume everything will go the way they want die very quickly.
A skill book doesn't take long to use, Jason said. It's kind of the whole point. It doesn't have to be fighting.
You could really expand your magical knowledge.
She already has magical knowledge, Sophie said. What she needs is combat skills, and we just so happened to get some rather good ones. Obviously, she needs to train to make sure she absorbs all that knowledge properly. Asano, you said Rufus Ramor can supply training like that, right?
Yeah, Jason said. He trained me that way.
He did? Sophie asked, casting a skeptical eye over Jason. I suppose he did what he could with what he had.
Oh, nice, Jason said, with exaggerated offense as the rest of the team laughed.
They had only been speaking a few moments when an ephemeral cube floated out of Belinda's chest, followed by a second and a third. They hovered in front of her, spiraling around one another until they came together to merge into a single cube. It swirled with muted colors that formed ghostly shapes that were almost recognizable before fading into the background again.
That's your confluence essence, Clive said with reverence.
What do I do? Belinda asked.
Reach out and take it.
Hesitantly, Belinda reached out and touched the awakening stone. It dissolved into smoke that writhed around her before sinking into her body.
You have absorbed charlatan essence. You have absorbed 4 of 4 essences. Progress to iron rank, 100%. 4 of 4 essences. Charlatan essence has bonded to your recovery attribute, changing your recovery from normal to iron 0. Master all charlatan essence abilities to increase your recovery attribute. You have awakened the charlatan essence ability, Echo Spirit. You have awakened 1 of 5 charlatan essence abilities. Ability, Echo Spirit, charlatan. Familiar, ritual. Cost, extreme mana. Cooldown, none. Current rank, iron, 0.00%. Effect, iron. Summon an Echo Spirit to serve as a familiar.
A familiar power, Clive said. You know, rather than wait until we get back from this shopping trip, we might want to rent one of the local magic society's ritual rooms wherever we end up and do the rest of Lindy's stones. If she has any more familiars, we'll need to know the summoning materials while we're still somewhere we can buy them.
That's a good point, Jason said. I'm sure we can figure it out.
The blue-grey light started emitting from Belinda on cue.
Human racial ability, essence gift, has evolved to face in the crowd. Ability, face in the crowd, transfigured from human, ability, essence gift. Take on the form of another race. You may mimic a specific member of that race or otherwise alter your appearance within the parameters of the race's natural features. Your aura blends into any surrounding auras, becoming difficult to detect, even with higher rank aura sensors. You do not gain any abilities of that race.
Shapeshifting, Clive said. Not a surprise. The charlatan essence is known for shapeshifting and illusion. Most prefer other options, however. Something that combines deception with attack powers for a more classic assassin power set.
Oh, an extra one. Here we go.
Belinda had lit up with blue-grey light again as Clive was talking.
Human racial ability, special attack affinity, has evolved to form and function. Ability, form and function, transfigured from human, ability, special attack affinity. When you take on the form of another race, gain some of their racial abilities in addition to your own. Your aura will match that of a member of the race you are mimicking.
You lost the special attack bonus of humans, Neil said.
Good, Belinda said. I think I've made my stance on standing up at the front and punching things quite clear. So is that it?
Not quite, Clive said.
I put some fresh clothes in the washroom, Sophie said. Asano even donated a bottle of crystal wash.
Oh, right, Belinda said, and made a beeline for the adjacent washroom.
Halfway there, she started to look very queasy. Sophie caught up and led her through the door.
You have absorbed 4 of 4 essences. All your attributes have reached iron rank. You have reached iron rank. You have gained damage reduction against normal rank damage sources. You have gained increased resistance to normal rank effects. You have gained the ability to sense auras. You have gained the ability to sustain yourself using sources of concentrated magic.
The rest of the team stood around awkwardly. All had been through the unpleasantness Belinda was experiencing in the next room. The purging of the body's impurities was as disgusting an experience as adventurers went through. It was all the worse for the source of the offending filth being their own bodies.
So, what does a body actually change into as it goes up ranks?
Jason asked. Is it just magically reinforced versions of the stuff we all have now?
No, and that's actually quite interesting, Clive said. The higher the rank an adventurer reaches, the more their body becomes like yours, Jason, a physical manifestation of pure magic. The physical material that makes up their body is refined and replaced. Obviously, a high ranker's body is much better than yours.
My body? You mean an Outworlder body?
I do.
But that's just a monster body with a soul in it.
Yes, Clive said. Right now, all of us except you have the usual internal workings of our respective species. But you, Jason, are essentially an undifferentiated mass of biological tissue. You have a skeleton to hang it all on, enough muscle to get the job done, and skin to hold it all in. A few extras like hair and eyeballs, blood to keep the whole mess operating. Where we have things like lungs, a heart and such, you're just a mass of extra flesh and blood your body can deploy as necessary.
What? Jason asked in horror.
It gives you an advantage over the rest of us, Clive said enviously. No spleen to burst, no lungs to puncture, no heart to stab.
Wait, Jason said. You're saying I'm just a generic lump of biomass?
Yes, Clive said. We all get there eventually, but you've got that head start on us.
But I breathe, Jason said. I have a heartbeat.
Habit, Clive said.
Habit?
Essentially, your body is faking it. You don't have a heart or lungs.
So I could just go underwater and never drown?
Yes, Clive said. In fact, I'd recommend it. Fighting through that drowning reflex is a great way to break the breathing habit.
That sounds horrifying, Jason said. What happens when I eat?
Oh, I wouldn't take any food out if you do that, Clive said. It would get all soggy.
Not when I'm trying to drown myself, Jason said. I mean, what happens to the food that I shove into my body?
The mass of flesh and blood inside you consumes it for energy with complete efficiency, Clive said. Strictly speaking, it wouldn't even need to go in your mouth.
This time, everyone gave Clive horrified looks.
What? He asked.
It's true. Hold on, Jason said, thinking of something else and desperately wanting to change the subject. Emir told me that my body was formed using an imprint of my soul.
That's broadly accurate, Clive said.
My body wasn't a blob mass when I left my world. Why would my soul make a blob body?
Do you really think your soul traveled between worlds without being changed? Clive asked. A normal rank soul?
I suppose not. Thadwick was actually interested in all this, Neil said.
Really?
Humphrey asked. I've known him since we were kids, and I've never so much as seen him with a book.
He had a theory he formulated for himself, Neil said. Once he found out that healing fixes the differences between the soul and the body, he got it into his head that if he constantly thought about certain parts of himself being larger all the time, it would imprint on his soul. Then healing magic would actually make it happen. After a pause to stare at Neil in disbelief, they all started laughing.
Let me get this straight, Jason said, between peals of laughter. Thadwick spends all his time wandering around thinking about having a trouser zucchini?
That explains so much, Humphrey said.
I know, right? Jason agreed. They stopped laughing as the washroom door opened and Sophie emerged.
It wasn't too bad, she said. Lindy will be out in a bit.